world this week. The 83 budget is revealed.
We're meeting the needs of this society while at the same time bringing this budget under control.
More U.S. aid for El Salvador.
The decisive battle for Central America is now underway in El Salvador.
I'm Paul Lockwood, substituting for Rob Armstrong and reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The plan had been not to release details of the fiscal 1983 budget until it goes to Congress on Monday, but it didn't work out that way. George Herman in Washington takes a look at the president's proposed spending program of more than $757 billion.
All the key figures and most of the program changes were leaked to the press on Friday, and the full documents were released ahead of time on Saturday. For fiscal conservatives, they made grim reading. A proposed deficit of $91.5 billion for 1983. No balanced budget until 1989 at the earliest. Treasury Secretary Regan says the administration never gave any serious thought to postponing the tax cut to lower the deficit. Budget Director Stockman rebuffed suggestions that his $43 billion in spending cuts would hurt the old and the poor.
I would just invite you to look at each of these programs and ask yourself whether or not the remaining funds provided for the remaining population served are meeting essential needs, and whether those whose benefits have been reduced or eliminated really needed, required, or deserved those benefits. My conclusion from it is that we're meeting the needs of this society while at the same time bringing this budget under control and paving the way for the economy to recover.
The budget's economic assumptions are generally a bit rosier than those put out earlier this week by the Congressional Budget Office. His deficit, about $10 billion less than the CBO's. But even the president admits the national debt will be over $1.25 trillion by the end of fiscal 83. George Herman, CBS News, Washington.
As might be expected, Democrats were quick to pounce on proposals for $27 billion in cuts in domestic spending and increased defense expenditures of $33 billion. But there was concern on the Republican side as well. Senate Finance Committee Chairman Robert Dole is considered one of the administration's most solid supporters.
When we're asked to make further reductions in food stamps and Medicaid and nutrition programs, plus lower the deficit, and the president says don't raise revenues any more than $7.2 billion, it almost forces us to look at the big item, and that's defense. So I think you're going to find a number of us who've supported the president down the line on defense spending taking a hard look and trying to find ways to reduce that budget figure.
Congressman John Dingell, Democrat of Michigan, was particularly critical of the president for recommending big reductions in spending for social programs.
The social safety net has already been converted into a net which has a mesh so large as only to stop falling elephants.
More of the world this week after this.
The Wall Street Journal helps keep you informed of everything happening anywhere that could affect your future and your company's future. The Wall Street Journal. It's all the business news you need when you need it. Right now, you can get 26 weeks of the Journal, one for every business day of the week, for about $1.80 per week. That's just $47 for 26 weeks, about $1.80 per week. So if you're serious about business in the continental U.S., call toll-free 800-228-6600. That's 800-228-6600, except in Nebraska. You'll be billed later.
It's NCAA Basketball Game of the Week excitement Thursday, February 11th on the CBS Radio Network. That's when Illinois' Fighting Illini go up against the homestanding Indiana Hoosiers. CBS Radio Sports' Bill O'Donnell courtside for the play-by-play action and expert analysis, too, from Ed Ingles. That's Illinois at Indiana for hot NCAA Game of the Week excitement beginning at 7:20 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday, February 11th on the CBS Radio Network. Hear it here.
With the fighting in El Salvador heating up again and the Salvadoran government taking it on the chin in one big raid by leftist rebels, the Reagan administration decided this week on an immediate infusion of $55 million worth of military aid for the junta in San Salvador. We'll hear about that from Rita Flynn in Washington.
Most of the money will go to replace several military planes and helicopters destroyed in an attack by communist-supported guerrillas. In testimony on Capitol Hill this week, Secretary of State Haig once again blamed Cuba for the current trouble in Central America. And to bolster his case against Cuba, Haig confirmed that Havana recently received a new arms shipment, compliments of Moscow.
the arrival this year of a second squadron of MiG-23 Floggers, and the 63,000 tons of war supplies imported from the Soviet Union this last year, on top of what was already by far the largest air, land, and sea inventory in the region, is ominous.
As word of mounting guerrilla activity reached Washington, Haig delivered yet another pointed warning, saying, "We will do whatever is necessary to contain the threat to democracy in El Salvador." Rita Flynn, CBS News, the State Department.
There was criticism of the increased Salvadoran aid from some members of the Congress. Three Democrats introduced legislation in the House of Representatives aimed at cutting off further assistance. The Senate this week approved the strongest legislation yet directed against busing as a means of achieving school desegregation. The lawmakers passed two amendments to a Justice Department appropriations bill. One bars the use of government funds to bring busing cases to court. The other prohibits busing plans that would have students travel more than 5 miles or over 15 minutes from their homes. Louisiana Democrat J. Bennett Johnston was one of the co-sponsors of the legislation.
Busing does not work. The cure is worse than the remedy. Busing is to desegregation what leeching used to be to medicine. It makes the patient worse. It doesn't achieve desegregation, and it hurts education.
Lowell Weicker, Republican of Connecticut, led the unsuccessful opposition to the anti-busing move with a filibuster. Vice President Bush was on his way to work Tuesday morning when suddenly there was a loud noise that sounded as if a bullet might have struck his limousine. It wasn't, but there were some anxious moments for all concerned, including the vice president.
I was just driving to work, heard a loud bang, came in, and that was all. Feel fine. Relaxed. Not used to all this attention in my job.
Later in the day, the FBI determined that what caused the noise and rip in the car's vinyl top was a piece of brick or stone from construction underway in the area. There was the disclosure this week that while he was in the White House, President Kennedy made extensive tape recordings of conversations that took place in the Oval Office, in the Cabinet Room, and on the telephone. Mr. Kennedy's secretary, Evelyn Lincoln, says those tapes were made only for honorable purposes.
He wanted all of the most important events during his time to be recorded. And you see, he was going to keep these recordings for his memoirs. I think anyone would be happy to know that their remarks were being recorded.
The unemployment figures for January came out this week, and surprisingly, they were down a fraction of a point from December to 8.5% of the workforce. On the other side of the coin, interest rates went up this week. The nation's big banks raised their prime lending rates from 15.75% to 16.5%. The world this week continues in 1 minute.
Hello, this is Max Morath. Do you have a sight problem that prevents you from reading? I've got good news for you about Choice Magazine Listening, a free service. Every other month, Choice Magazine Listening will send you, free, on phonograph records, 8 hours of selections from leading magazines featuring writers like William Styron, Joyce Carol Oates, John McPhee, Kurt Vonnegut, Art Buchwald, many others. So, if you are blind or unable to read regular print, or if you know someone with this problem, write to Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. We'll also tell you how to get the special record player provided free by the Library of Congress as part of its Talking Book program. So, write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050, or telephone 516-883-8280. That's 516-883-8280. A public service message on behalf of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund.
Britain, taking a cue from the United States, this week imposed some sanctions of its own on the Soviet and Polish governments to protest the continued repression in Poland. The measures include the cutting off of any new financial credit for Poland and travel restrictions on Soviet and Polish diplomats in Britain. In Washington, it was announced that the Reagan administration has decided to pay American banks the more than $71 million in debt owed by the Polish government. State Department spokesman Dean Fisher defended the move as the proper course.
The question of default is still open, and it is one of a range of options still before the U.S. government. We intend to make every effort to collect on these debts, and the procedure adopted is the best way to do this.
Egypt's Hosni Mubarak came to Washington this week for talks with President Reagan, his first visit to the United States since succeeding the late Anwar Sadat as Egyptian president. Cairo correspondent Mitchell Krauss traveled to the capital with the Egyptian leader.
Mubarak's Washington visit didn't solve the many outstanding Middle East problems, but it gave them another public airing. All seemed tied to the deadlocked negotiations on Palestinian autonomy. And here, Egypt and the U.S. were still far apart. Mubarak urging a U.S. dialogue with the Palestinians, the U.S. through Secretary of State Haig saying that would only come if the PLO were involved, if they renounced their current policy of denying Israel's existence. Beyond this, though, there was progress. Mr. Mubarak and President Reagan apparently agreed on the subject of Soviet intentions in the Middle East and ways to resist them. They adjusted the U.S. economic aid formula so that Egypt had more flexibility in using U.S. aid, and the U.S. promised to increase military aid to Egypt in the years ahead. Congress questioned Mubarak and found him a knowledgeable and charming proponent of his country's needs. But perhaps most important from Mubarak's viewpoint was the impression he made on the American people. Though news coverage of the visit was low-key compared to that accorded the late President Sadat on his trips, Mubarak did emerge as a man apparently in control of the complex situation in his country and able to deal with its vexing problems in a rational and mature way, thus reassuring his American supporters. Mitchell Krauss, CBS News, Washington.
With the United States and other Western countries voting no, the UN General Assembly this week approved a non-binding resolution urging members to impose sanctions against Israel because of its decision to annex the Golan Heights. Even before the vote, Israeli Ambassador Yehuda Blum denounced the effort.
The United Nations has no power and no ability to isolate Israel, and will never have such power or ability. The United Nations can only isolate itself and is in the process of doing so.
After passage of the resolution, the Israeli cabinet issued a statement saying it considers the assembly action to be null and void. The World This Week continues in 1 minute.
This is Gene King for your Better Business Bureau. You save all year for that exotic vacation in a foreign country. You make all the arrangements, you pay the bills, and you have your picture taken for that passport to paradise. But then when you reach your destination and reach for your passport, you discover it's gone. What do you do? Well, if you take this precautionary step before you leave home, you'll be all set. Before you leave home, make 2 photocopies of your passport. Keep one in your luggage and leave the other at home with a friend who can be easily reached. If yours is lost or stolen, the proven existence of your copy will enable you to get a replacement from the American Embassy or consulate in that country. But if you have no copy, you could be in for an extended stay while your identity is verified. Now, don't let your passport to paradise end up as a painful experience. A consumer tip from this station and your Better Business Bureau.
In a week that saw American Telephone and Telegraph report 1981 profits of nearly $7 billion and General Motors report earnings of $330 million, one other business didn't fare so well. Sir Freddie Laker, he of the low-cost transatlantic airfare, announced he is broke and is going out of business. Sir Freddie made it possible for a lot of people to get to Europe who otherwise couldn't have afforded the trip. His commercial pitch went like this.
On SkyTrain service super economy to New York, you'll pay less than half the lowest comparable fare. Less than half the fare. That's what I call economy. Nobody out Laker's Laker.
But as it turned out, Sir Freddie was out Lakered after all. The World This Week, produced by Steve Feldberg, technical supervision by Keith Park. I'm Paul Lockwood, CBS News.